Our scripture reading today is taken from the book of St. Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. As he considered this, he fell asleep, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary. For the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet: "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel," meaning God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He brought Mary home to be his wife, but she remained a virgin until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. May God add a blessing to those who hear this, the reading of his holy word.
Did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels crawl? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will meet, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect plan? and the sleeping child you're holding is the grace. Did you know?
One of the most difficult things to do is to put your feet in someone else's shoes and walk a mile of their journey. I don't mean that literally. I wouldn't have much trouble getting my feet into many other people's shoes because I have small feet. Some of you, it's the other way around, I'm afraid, but of course. It's an expression which refers to the idea of living someone else's life just long enough to be able to relate to them, to understand their circumstances. This idea is so close to the meaning of compassion that I've actually heard people give it as compassion's definition. That is, compassion is the empathy and the understanding that comes from walking a mile in somebody else's shoes. Literally, it means to suffer with someone. And it evokes a desire to help alleviate their pain. And for Christians especially, it is one of the highest virtues. Most people find it easier to be compassionate towards people that have had similar experiences as the ones they've had. As a matter of fact, the psychological profession sometimes will prescribe group therapy, which means you're going to go talk to people. And support groups can be found that will provide psychological and emotional and even spiritual healing. And oftentimes they involve people who've had a similar experience. Perhaps the death of a loved one. Or addiction of some kind, or divorce. One easily gets the idea. Compassion is more therapeutic among people who've had similar life experiences, and it's easier. With this in mind, this idea of walking in somebody else's shoes, we consider the lives of Mary and Joseph, who are better understood compassionately, I think, than otherwise. That is, it's helpful to try at least to walk a little ways in their shoes rather than see them only through the lens of Christian theology and tradition. And the first thing that occurs to me when I think about trying to walk a mile in Mary and Joseph's shoes is that their lives are hard to understand for a variety of reasons. They lived a long time ago. And when I wrote that, I felt like it was Star Wars. They lived a long time ago in a faraway place with what to us is our exotic customs, really, and a strange language. And they lived in Galilee, and they were from Judea, which doesn't mean all that much to us, because those are just names, and even if you've been there, I think, it's hard to imagine what that would have meant 2,000 years ago. It meant they lived away from home. And they didn't have the chance to reflect upon the meaning of their own lives for 2,000 years like we have. So try to put yourself in their shoes. That's impossible to do, but for a moment maybe. And their circumstance was this. And this one I think we can relate to because we've seen it. They were engaged to be married when Mary turned up pregnant. And Joseph was not the father. This situation happens all the time, even in our own time. And it could not have been easy for them or for their families. And I think for their family and friends, it would be easier to understand that they would be hesitant to believe a story like the one that's in the Bible that tells us that Mary had conceived this child miraculously of the Holy Spirit. Think about it. If there was a young girl in your acquaintance who became pregnant and told you that story, you probably wouldn't believe it. I wouldn't. My suspicion is that Mary didn't try it out on very many people. One can see why Joseph would have considered a divorce, and he would have considered not accepting her child as his own. The point is that sometimes it's situations like that in which the greatest miracles happen. Unconventional situations where things have not gone the way they're supposed to go. I was once acquainted with a man whose wife's daughter became pregnant when she was 16 years old. And from time to time he would talk to me about it. It was a trying time for him and for his family. They were already blended, like the Brady Bunch, with children from previous marriages being thrown together into the same household as if they were related. And he confided in me that the girl was dark. And what he meant by that is she was depressed, or it seemed like depressed. She was always in her room. She wouldn't come to dinner. She was hard to talk to. She never helped out around the house. She snuck out of the house late at night after everybody was gone to bed, and she thought they didn't know. They feared she was using drugs and alcohol, and though she was very bright, she did poorly in school. And then she became pregnant. And in a short time, everything changed. I guess you could say she was awakened by her circumstances. She changed the way she presented herself. She became more outgoing and talkative. And not only did she start showing up at the dinner table, but he said she helped with the dishes and other household chores. She smiled a lot and started doing better in school. The way he put it was, she turned into a human being. And then the child was born. Every child born is a miracle of God. It is a disgrace, don't you think, that there ever was a notion of illegitimacy? I hope we're doing away with such ideas. But in this case, this child changed the whole family's life. Because when he started to grow, it turned out he didn't know the difference between his biological family and his family by marriage. Everyone was just family to him. And he was delightful and brought joy to everyone in the whole family, and everyone had to help out. And they were all devoted to his care. What my friend said was that the birth of that child was the best thing that ever happened to them. He said the child made them become a family and gave their daughter back to them. And he told me once, he said he would have no problem believing that the whole thing was God's will. A gift from God. I wonder if it's too much of a stretch to believe that something like that is what happened to Mary and Joseph. The Bible doesn't tell us much about what happened immediately in their lives when their lives were transformed by this birth. I wonder if we think only in terms of the miraculous nature of the conception, if we may miss the other miracle about how their lives changed just by having a child. Sometimes I think it's easy for us to believe that God works only in conventional ways, within the lines, according to the rules. Sometimes the best things that happen are the unconventional things, the things that happen outside the lines. Certainly, part of the Christmas message is that this one person's life didn't happen inside the lines in a conventional way. I suspect that even though the conception of Jesus in that time, in that place, probably caused a lot of strain between Mary and Joseph, and also among their family, that when the child was born, they were able to see the great gift in it. And it changed their lives. And one gets the idea that that's what Joseph's dream was mostly about. Mary had become pregnant without him, and the only logical conclusion that he could reach was that she had been unfaithful. So he had thought of divorcing her and moving on, and one could understand if he was a little torn inside. But it turns out that Joseph is the one who had the choice in the matter, and in his dream he was told that he should accept Mary and her child as his own. And the reason is because the whole thing was God's doing. A gift from God. And so that is what he did. And though we are not told about the immediate joy that they experienced after Joseph married her and accepted the child and named him Jesus, but whatever that was, it pales by comparison to the joy that Jesus brought to the world through his life and death and resurrection. And though we're led to believe that Joseph was not around at the end of Jesus' life, Mary was. And one of the things that would not be hard to believe that she said was that the birth of Jesus was the best thing that ever happened to her. Sometimes we all need to have a best thing that ever happened moment. The world, don't you think, needs to have a best thing that ever happened moment? Something that unites us, and not a war. If we had a war, it would unite us. But that's a high price to pay. But it would be okay if it turned out to be something a little unconventional. Something that meant life to us and not death. With all that is happening in the world, on the international scene, and we have all these names of places that are in the news all the time, Iraq and Syria and Russia and China and the Sudan and other places, Germany sometimes. Sometimes things that happen here in America, with all that's going on the domestic scene, the tense nature of race relations and this economic recovery, which has been going on for 8 years, but seems to be working better for some than for others. The tension surrounding the election. With all that is happening in our personal lives, each of us impacted by health concerns and relationship concerns and money concerns, it would be easy to become discouraged. We are inundated with bad news, and it raises our temperatures and our anxiety levels. I don't know, perhaps we are overreacting, because it turns out there's always pain and suffering in the world, and there's always trouble. But it just seems like But the trouble is a little intensified now, and we could use a best thing that ever happened kind of moment. The example of Joseph means that whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, and if they turned out to be a little unconventional, we should live them out, whatever they are, because they might turn out to be miraculous. They might turn out to be orchestrated by God to bring about crazy redemptions that we would never dream about and turn us all into human beings at last. And even if with our theology we struggle to believe that it is ever God's will for something bad to happen, we can at least agree that God can redeem any situation. A situation like Mary's, countless others like them. So let us be slow to judge. And let us forego judgment altogether, really, in the expectation of a Christmas miracle like the one that happened when Christ was born. Let us remember that every person is precious and worthy of compassion and love, even when they misbehave. Maybe especially when they misbehave. In our hearts, the miracle happens actually when we catch a glimpse of what it might be like to walk in the mile in the shoes of the people from whom we differ the most. The ones that it isn't easy for us to understand their lives. The miracle happens when we learn to love and accept them as they are, even as we have been loved and accepted as we are. That is what compassion is, and that is the great Christmas miracle, because you realize what Christmas is the time when God put his feet in our shoes and lived a life like ours. And that is the best thing that ever happened to us all. Let us pray. Dear God, we're thankful for these wonderful stories that we tell each other and we read every year about your love and about your grace. We're thankful that you had compassion for us. We're thankful that no matter what mess we are in or mess the world is in, the redeeming power of your grace can overcome it. And that's what we pray for. We pray for it in our own lives, and we pray for it in the world. And on Christmas Day, we hope more than ever at any other time of the year. Let this hope grow in us. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Our hymn of dedication this morning is a quick and upbeat and joyful song, Joy to the World. But let's stand and sing it together with hopes in our heart. Thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. And we pray that you would go with us with great hope and great joy to whatever we meet, to whatever circumstances find us on our way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Now Grandma has a question.
I'm gonna water be on the screen.